Hello, gentlemen. This is Billy.
And Lauren from the Diamond Air, now in downtown St. Charles.
So you just took your lady out to your favorite Italian restaurant. And after a couple of cocktails, that forbidden word comes out. Yep, marriage. This sound familiar?
Billy, when are we going to get married?
What do you do? Do you buy yourself some time and get her a pair of studs?
We can help you with that, too.
Should you gamble and buy your ring online, sight unseen?
Or are you going to buy her that cookie-cutter ring from a chain store?
Because you do kind of love her, and yep, you've got the butterflies, and she is the one. Well, at the Diamond Air, I match and set the finest quality diamonds for everything, from engagement ring settings to stud earrings. Come to me, skip the middleman, and I guarantee you the best prices in fine diamond jewelry. You will be greeted by beautiful ladies, sit in our comfortable diamond salon, and even enjoy a beer while you shop.
Call 630-355-RING to schedule an appointment.
Or stop by the Diamond Air, where you will get a larger, better quality diamond for less. Because remember, gentlemen, size does matter.
Boy, don't I know it.
JMK HD2 Chicago.
From the Score Update Studio, I'm Julie DeCaro. The White Sox will face Lance Lynn and the Cardinals tonight at U.S. Cellular Field. The 7-5 Lynn is just 2-4 with an ERA over 4 on the road, as opposed to his 5-1 record and 1.83 ERA at Busch Stadium. John Danks will be on the hill for the Cardinals. He's trying to win 3 of his last 4 starts. Pregame with Chris Ronji starts at 6:35. Game 1 of today's day-night doubleheader between the Cubs and Reds ended with the Cubs falling to Cincinnati 9-1. Things went wrong from the get-go in this one. Kyle Hendricks gave up 4 runs in the first inning. Manager Joe Maddon was tossed for arguing a balk call. Yoervis Medina was called up from AAA Iowa before today's game. He gave up 4 runs in relief. Kyle Schwarber had a good day, though. He went 2-for-3 with a walk and an RBI. Game 2 tonight at 6:10, Dallas Buehler was called up as today's 26th man. He'll face Tony Cingrani tonight. This is Cingrani's first start since going on the DL on June 15th. Meanwhile, Chris Bryant and Kyle Schwarber are both riding the pines tonight for Game 2. David Ross and Jonathan Herrera will play in their places. ESPN says the Cubs are no longer interested in acquiring reliever Jonathan Papelbon. MLB.com reports that Matt Latos is now on the Cubs' radar. To the NBA, Kendrick Perkins gets a 1-year deal with the New Orleans Pelicans for the veteran's minimum. 2-time All-Star Baron Davis says he's going to try to make an NBA comeback. The 36-year-old Davis has been out of the league since suffering a knee injury in 2012. And NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says he's proud of Spurs assistant coach Becky Hammon for leading her team to the NBA Summer League title, adding that he has no doubt the NBA could see a day when Becky Hammon or another woman is head coach. In college basketball, the Illini have finalized their non-conference schedule, which includes games against South Dakota, Yale, Western Carolina, and Notre Dame. And Simon Geschke takes stage 17 of the Tour de France. Britain's Chris Froome holds the overall lead and the yellow jersey. The scoreboard update is brought to you by the BMW Championship at Conway Farms Golf Club in Lake Forest. Visit BMWChampionship.com. And join the Score's Jay Zawoski next Friday at Anthony's Restaurant and Pub in Joliet from 7 to 9 p.m. for a Miller Lite Take Me Out to the Ballpark appearance. Come out and enter for your chance to win Sox tickets. I'm Julie DeCaro, and you're listening to the radio home for White Sox baseball. The next game on the Score is tonight at 6:35 when the Sox take on the Cardinals on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour brought to you by the BMW Championship at Conway Farms Golf Club in Lake Forest. Visit BMWChampionship.com.
Boars and Bernstein.
I'm bored.
This seems like a good bit of fun.
Afternoons on the Score.
Who knows what could happen?
Schwarber did indeed have a couple more hits today, but I understand now that I was getting the business down there about trading him. But, dude, how small of a sample size are we talking about? I'm not saying he can't hit, but pitching rules these days. I'm sorry. I don't exactly know that I'm trading the greatest player who ever lived, like some think now. And what, in 5 games or 12 games or whatever it is, he's untouchable?
No, he's certainly not untouchable.
Come on, just give me a break.
You know how people are. Fans are very excited about the latest shiny thing, yeah. But he's fun, and nobody wants to even think about the idea of trading something that is that much fun, especially on a team that's starved for offense.
Boars and Bernstein.
You guys do 4 hours a day?
5.
God almighty. I do 3 and want to stab myself in the heart with a pencil for you.
Talking Chicago sports on your ride home.
As most of you know, I'm a big believer in Attila the Hun's book. He said it very simply.
I don't think Attila the Hun wrote a book, because Johannes Gutenberg wasn't even born until 1398.
He wrote it with
Ed Sherman and Dale with Attila the Hun. A book of Hun quotes?
I mean, there's a book here called Leadership Secrets of Attila the Hun, written by Wes Roberts. So okay. He didn't write a book. Maybe that's the one he's reading. It sounds like, you know, something a college football coach would read.
Yeah, maybe somebody quoted him, but it's not his book. But he's in that book.
But he's in that book.
I don't think we're even on the air anymore anyway.
Terry Bors, Dan Bernstein.
A show by the name of Bors and Bernstein. But I've been told that he said some pretty harsh things.
The show goes on!
Bors and Bernstein, weekdays 1 to 6 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, we spent some time trying to figure out what the hell Steve Spurrier was talking about. Bors and Bernstein, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, because he's already had his SEC day. That's the day we got the SEC thing rolling with it. Take down that damn flag. We're all good.
I think we have our Bok ruling here.
Okay, so I didn't see it, though.
What happened was...
All right.
I saw, but I wasn't sure what happened. Here's what it was. That Rizzo, when Hendricks began, or when he thought Hendricks was beginning his windup, Rizzo, in anticipation of a bunt, was breaking toward the plate. Rizzo was unaware that Hendricks was actually making a pickoff move to first and was already into his throw to first. So Rizzo had to try to scramble and dive back to catch the ball. So according to rule 8.05D, if there is a runner or runners on base, it is a balk when the pitcher, while touching his plate, which means the rubber, throws or feints a throw to an unoccupied base, except for the purpose of making a play. So by rule, if Rizzo was able to go catch it, he's close enough that the base could be considered occupied, and it was for the purpose of making a play. So I guess I'm a little confused. I mean, it's one thing if the ball... if he's not there to field the ball. But I guess the ruling was Rizzo was far enough from the base and there was no play to be made, and it was considered a balk because he completed a throw with his foot on the rubber to an unoccupied base.
That really doesn't sound enough like reason to get thrown out of the game, does it?
No.
I mean, some things make you mad. I know maybe you're just having a bad day, but that doesn't, you know, that's close then. That's very close to being a ball. I mean, it's not like, well, it's pretty close. Okay, I get it now.
Okay, right. Yeah, that makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, but I wouldn't, I just wouldn't get thrown out of the game over that crap. I mean, that's, you know, every game's important. You want your guy there, and I just doesn't make any sense. And, well, of course, it wasn't much of a game anyway.
Mike in Winfield says, the Spurrier quote is indeed from the book Leadership Secrets of Attila the Hun by Wes Roberts. Searching around, the full text of the book is available on the internet. He says, part of the way through the preface, the writer admits all the quotes from Attila the Hun are his creations. Based supposedly on his historical research. Sounds to me like the book on leadership had a weak premise, but here's what he says. This is the quote from Wes Roberts. The aphorisms spoken by Attila in this book have no basis of authenticity as ever having been said by the King of Huns. They are, rather, ones that I have written based upon my own experiences, research, and observations. They have been reviewed and tested by some demanding critics and were only incorporated after having survived considerable scrutiny. Oh, well, what man. Scrutiny do they need if you admit you're making them up?
Yeah, you don't need any scrutiny. You made it up, and that's it.
You just said I'm making up Hun quotes. That's fine. You're allowed. I'm sure that just say that that Spurrier should say this is something that Wes Roberts said. It kind of sounds like it should have been said by Attila the Hun, but wasn't.
But he didn't say that.
But he didn't. He said it's Attila the Hun's book.
That didn't sound right. Attila was busy. He didn't have time to write a book. So I can do the same thing then.
All right. And then the 630 asks, is this occupied base, when you're saying occupied by a base runner, not a defender? Okay. Well, if it's an... okay. Throw to an unoccupied base except for the purpose of making a play. Well, then what does that have to do with where Rizzo is?
I don't know.
It does. Maybe they're just saying if there's no run... well, but wait. Was there no runner at first? Why is he throwing to first if there's no runner there? Why would he throw to first if there's no runner there? That wouldn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. I did not see. I don't know.
I don't know. And no, I don't think arguing a balk is an automatic ejection. Arguing balls and strikes can be an automatic.
Yeah, you can ask for a ruling. You can go out there and say, under the guise of asking for the ruling, just say, what exactly was your call? What's exactly your logic? Especially on that one. I'd say, what exactly is that? No, I wouldn't scream at him. It's not, again, it's not worth getting thrown out of the game.
Yeah, the 219 says Madden's reaction was measured. He was not trying to get kicked out. The umpire overreacted, and then Madden started lodging grievances with the crew chief. I have grievances to lodge. I am not feeling groovy. I am Joe Madden with grievances. This has all become extremely confusing.
It really has. Well, at least we know the Attila quotes are made up, though. We've learned that. We got that much straightened out. We're good there.
Okay.
We're not as good on the Bach ruling, but we got the Attila thing straightened out for Steve Spurrier.
No.
He's been an idiot of himself.
And the Bach rule, I'll admit, I think I'm pretty good with a lot of baseball rules, but the Bach rules can be really confusing.
Yes, I know.
Because there are a number of exceptions, and it has to do with where guys are. But okay,
that's why I never question one when one's called. I don't have the basis of knowledge to do so. It's happened a few times over the years, and I don't have that basis of knowledge. And generally, if I look it up and think about it a second, I go, "Yeah, that is correct." I mean, it's nothing that I've tried to memorize or anything, but in general, I think that even though they might upset you, and you go, what? It's a what? And why?